EAA Radio, I'm Steve Buss. Joining me now is Jeff Skiles. You probably know him as the co-chairman of EAA's Young Eagles program. And I guess you're famous for that other little thing, the airplane flight?
Yeah, it was a long time in the past. It's the Young Eagles thing. That's what everybody knows me for. Thank you.
So, Jeff, since the splashdown in the Hudson, how has your life changed?
Everything about it has changed. You know, I mean, my home life is the same. I still live in the same house, drive the same cars. But being involved in the EAA has really allowed me to do a lot of things. And particularly being involved in this Young Eagles program is really exciting for me. We've made a lot of there's a lot of new programs coming up with it. It's not just the Young Eagles flight anymore. Last year, Sporty's Pilot Shop and Hal Shevers have generously donated a ground school program. So now the Young Eagle, after their flight, they have access to a ground school. They have the youngeagles.org website, which is, of course, Steve is responsible for here and the rest of the EAA organization. And now we're getting grants, scholarship programs, I guess I can't tell you about that yet.
What do you have up your sleeve? Something secret?
Well, I just found out about it about an hour ago from Brian Olino, one of the other people, but I think that we should allow the proper people to announce it.
Okay. Well, once the flight was over and the initial hoopla settled down, you had some pretty...
You're talking about when I flew in here?
No. That was a good landing, by the way. Nice crosswind, stiff crosswind in the
lock-off. I have not flown in here since 1979. And I was very young then, but I remember swearing I would never do it again. So, of course, I had to fly my Waco in here. And so I was going to come in on Saturday, you know, because all the water and everything wasn't supposed to be a lot of traffic. And then I thought, well, you know, I called up Steve. I said, well, maybe I'll come up Sunday morning. And he says, I don't know. There's going to be a lot of traffic then. A lot of airplanes are just waiting to come in here. And I thought, no problem. I hadn't actually ever read the NOTAM. So I sat down in my house, 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon, and read the 32-page NOTAM on how to get in here. I immediately threw my suitcase in my car, drove out to the airport, and flew up here, you know, while I could still do it when there wasn't a lot of traffic. Even at that, I ended up slow flighting for 20 miles behind a caravan and a flight of kit foxes. I guess they fly around in a gaggle.
Only at Oshkosh. So we're joking around a little bit this morning, but you've actually been involved in some pretty serious work in Washington on the part of airline pilots. Why don't you fill folks in on some of the things you've been doing along there?
Well, that's true. I got myself elected. When they say elected, usually when you're elected to something, it's because you're the only one that will do it. Other people are a lot smarter. Well, I'm the vice president of the Coalition Airline Pilots Associations. I happen to be wearing their shirt today. But we advocate in Washington for safety and security issues of importance to airline pilots, and been very actively working on the FAA reauthorization bill. In fact, you know, when I go back to my trailer, I end up spending an hour or two emailing about that because there's a lot going on right now. It's possibly even going to be passage of it in the next year or so. And that's very important even to general aviation pilots, because a lot of programs like NextGen, for instance, the new air traffic control system, where they're going to use GPS and satellite-based tracking of airplanes instead of using traditional radars, is incorporated in that. So this will all be something that everybody's going to be facing with changing over to this new system, even EAA and general aviation pilots.
So you're spending a lot of time in Washington. Contrast the Wisconsin to Washington lifestyle.
I would never want to be a politician. I've seen enough of it. You know, occasionally nobody of importance, would say, you know, you should run for Congress. Oh, my Lord. That is the last thing anybody should ever want to do.
And you were also involved with the families in the Buffalo crash.
That's true. In the course of doing this, I become kind of an advisor for there was a Continental Connection 3407 crash in Buffalo, New York, about a year and a half ago. And I'm very close to the family group. They're very active in pushing legislation, important safety legislation in Washington. In fact, they're really a key factor in it, in making this happen. They're a very savvy, very intelligent group of people. And not just because they've decided to ask for my help, but I feel very honored to even be asked to help them in their efforts. And I've done a lot of advocating with them and doing press, public relations with them, and also just explaining our industry to them, because obviously they know nothing about the aviation industry. But it's been a great honor to do that as well.
What's in the future? Are you going to continue your work in Washington on behalf of the Coalition of Airline Pilots Association?
Yeah, I'm going to continue that, definitely. I feel that that's, you know, for whatever, I firmly believe that any other two U.S. Airways pilots in that cockpit would have done the exact same thing as us. It's not like we're special. It's not even like we're fantastic pilots. I shouldn't speak for Sully, I suppose, but I'll speak for myself. You know, I'm just, you know, an average run-of-the-mill airline pilot, you know, always have been and always will be, but, you know, as long as we have a voice that other people don't have, I'm firmly committed to using that to hopefully do good for my profession and for aviation in general.
Well, it is an interesting contrast, is it? You are able to be an advocate on the part of the airline pilots and also general aviation. It's a very unique position that very few people have ever had.
Well, I suppose that's true. Thanks to the generosity of Steve and the rest of the EAA organization, and of course we took this over because Harrison Ford wanted to move on. He's doing very important work himself. With the AOPA, with the General Aviation Serves America program that they have there. And that's actually moved more from, symbolic head, as he is with the EAA, to he's actually doing lobbying in Washington for general aviation issues, which are also important to all of us. So he was able to move on to that, which opened up the spot for Sully and I to take over the Young Eagles co-chairmanship here, which has been very exciting for me. Because I get to work with people like Steve.
You realize this is sort of like a NASCAR endorsement. Every time he says my name, I have to pay him. Before we leave the U.S. Air Flight, have you been in contact with any of the flight crew or passengers since the flight?
Oh, yeah. I keep in contact with Sully and the flight attendants. And, in fact, just a couple weeks ago, I ended up doing an interview with one of the passengers for a Canadian TV show. And I tell you, every time I talk to one of those passengers, I find out something new. You know, it's, I mean, to some extent, I never read anything about the incident. I never watched any of the TV shows. In fact, they're going to show this Brace for Impact here, I guess, what, Wednesday night?
Yeah.
Wednesday night here at the Fly-In Theater. I never saw it. So I guess I got to introduce it, but I don't really have a lot of basis for knowing what's going to be said because I never watched it. But you know, I every time I run into one of these passengers, I find new information about it. It's kind of interesting because everybody on that flight had their own story. And it's interesting to hear the other stories of what they had to go through. This particular gentleman that I was doing the interview with, he was one of the first ones out on the wing. So he was actually he told me he was the first one out on the wing that didn't walk off the wing at the end. He was smart enough to stop. But just listening to their stories is very interesting as well.
Is there a story from passengers or crew that really stands out in your mind as sort of the galvanizing event?
I think we were all pretty galvanized at that moment. It was. I know. You've all heard the story so many times. It just happened so fast. Unfortunately, it was over fairly fast. And we were on shore with Red Cross blankets around our shoulders, drinking hot coffee in no time. And you know, what has really galvanized people about this story is not so much what it is. I mean, you know, it could have been any group of people up there in that airplane, and I think that is the story, is that it could have been any group of people. It's not like these are, you know, we're Hollywood stars or, you know, people you see on TV. were, you know, us, were you, were everybody. I mean, anybody could have been in that airplane, and I think people, you know, really gravitate to this story because of that, because it could have been, you know, them as well as it could have been me, and the fact that everybody came together and just did their jobs. I mean, we did our jobs. That's what we did. We didn't do any more than that. And passengers, they did their jobs. The boat crews, they did their jobs. That's the real story, is that if a, you know, large group of people get together, work together, amazing things can happen.
We're going to take a quick break and return to the Welcome Center with more from Jeff Skiles. And we talk kind of serious in this first 15 minutes. We'll talk about some other fun things coming up in the next 15 minutes. So make sure you stick around. So we are live from the Welcome Center, and this is EAA Radio.